Morning. Ah, works. Peter said the microphone was matching my shoes. This morning, I would like us. I would like to take us through a guided prayer time around the biblical story of Zacchaeus. And just in a moment, I'll read that text again slowly. But I would like to invite you to, if you feel comfortable, to perhaps close your eyes and take a moment to just be present with yourself, just the way you are, and to be present with God. He is here among us, with us, in us. Perhaps take a deep breath and then let go of all that has already happened this morning. You are here now. As I'm reading the account of Zacchaeus, let me encourage you to open yourselves up to the God who loves extravagantly, who delights in you, the God who we celebrate as Emmanuel, God with us, the God who desires to be together with you always, but also quite specifically here this morning. Let's pray and ask God for help with this. Jesus, would you please help us open our ears to hear your voice, the voice of our Good Shepherd? Holy Spirit, would you please open our eyes and guide us into all truth? And Heavenly Father, would you help us open our hearts for what you have for each of us? And just like Darcy said, if that's just a little bit, that's okay. Whatever we can offer to God is just fine. And if there are any evil spirits present here to confuse, to harass, to condemn, to derail, just like Jesus said, to steal, kill, and destroy, in Jesus' name, I command you to leave this place. Go where Jesus tells you to go. We declare this place to be holy and sacred ground. Let's listen to the words from Luke 19:1 to 10 again. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." If you like, perhaps keep your eyes closed and with your God-given imagination, picture yourself within this story. Where could you see yourself? Perhaps you would be an observer, like someone who lives in Jericho by the city gate and leans out the window to see what's going on. Or you might place yourself within the crowd, pressed from all sides, trying to get a glimpse of Jesus too. You're not just watching the action, you're actually pushing through toward Jesus yourself. Or maybe you picture yourself as one of the disciples. You're one of those traveling together with Jesus on the dusty roads. This morning, I'd like to take us deeper into two different scenarios. We'll take the main chunk of time for the first one and actually try to put ourselves in Zacchaeus' shoes. Then, Later, after the song, we will briefly come back to a second scenario, the idea of being part of the crowd. But first, let's imagine ourselves as Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wants to see who Jesus is, but because he's short, he can't see over the crowd. So he runs ahead and climbs high up into a fig tree to get a better view. Like Zacchaeus, you too may be attracted by Jesus. Perhaps you too feel hungry and thirsty for more. You're feeling drawn to him. But somehow it's not that easy. Access can be difficult. Let's ask Jesus, is there a crowd in my life I have trouble looking over? What in my life perhaps is blocking me from getting closer to you? What would it mean for me today to make such a Zacchaeus move, to run ahead and climb up into a tree? How could I get closer to you, Jesus? This is a bold move by Zacchaeus, actually. Pretty unconventional and quite undignified for a grown man within this culture. When's the last time you have climbed a tree? How would it feel for you if you did that? Would it be hard? Would you find it fun and exciting, kind of like being a kid again? Once up there, not only can you see better, but there's also another advantage. With all the people well below you now, you feel quite safe, covered by those fig leaves. It's actually comfortable to be hidden like this. Zacchaeus was a guy whom others hated, a Jew who collected taxes from fellow Jews for the Roman Empire, cheating people by charging extra for his own benefit, a traitor who had become wealthy at the expense of his own people by collaborating with the Roman authorities. He was someone who deliberately and persistently broke the Levitical law, God's law. He may have had money, but he was being treated like an outcast. In that sense, we may not really relate all that well to Zacchaeus. You may not feel like an outcast looked down upon by those around you. But with Zacchaeus' sin so blatantly obvious, this may actually help us to take a deeper, honest look at our own lives. What about my sin? We all sin. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, John says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." We all sin. We all mess up. You and I, we all fall short. Let's take a moment and simply be up there in this sycamore tree. Notice how those fig leaves cover you. Nobody's eyes are on you. It's just you by yourself up in that tree. Jesus is still some way off. For the following few questions, I encourage you to be gentle, kind, and gracious to yourself, but also be as honest as you can. Ask yourself, is there anything in my life that I'd rather keep hidden? Is there an area perhaps that I'm not proud of, where I feel shame? Is there anything where I feel guilty, where I too have sinned, messed up, and fallen short? And if anything comes to mind, just hold on to it for a moment. Don't rush into fixing anything quite yet. Just acknowledge and hold it there, perhaps as if it were in a box or a shopping bag. Now let's take a moment and allow our focus to shift back down onto the road. Jesus is about to pass by. I wonder what went through Zacchaeus' head as he saw Jesus coming closer. And just like him, we may wonder too. What if Jesus notices me? What if he calls me out on this issue or that area? Would he disapprove of me? Would he like me less? Our text continues. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Isn't it amazing that out of a whole crowd of people that had come out to see and hear Jesus, Jesus picks this guy, the outcast, the sinner, the priestly lawbreaker to come home to? And notice what is the first word out of Jesus' mouth, Zacchaeus. He calls him by his name. He calls you and me by our name too. The name Zacchaeus in Hebrew means pure one, innocent one. They hadn't met before, and yet Jesus calls him by his name. Calls him pure one, innocent one. Do we realize how outrageous this actually is? And what a provocation to those close by? But Jesus looks deep down into Zacchaeus' soul and sees his truest identity, his true potential, which we do see unfolding as soon as Zacchaeus understands how deeply loved he really is. Immediately, out of his exuberant joy, he proclaims how he wants to give half of his wealth to the poor and pay back four times those he's cheated. Not to appease Jesus, not to gain his approval. He already has it. Jesus is already coming for dinner. But swept up in the unconditional love of God, Zacchaeus can't help it but overflow. Turning his life around seems to happen with ease. It's the response to being loved much in your mess. To being loved much despite your mess. And Jesus does the same with you and with me. He looks at you and me with eyes of love and bestows on you too the greatest honor there is. He wants to sit at your table too, together with you. No strings attached, no conditions. You can come as you are. Perhaps you're not ready yet to leave your box or shopping bag, your sin, behind. Remember, Zacchaeus had been fully aware of his wrongdoing for quite a while. But it often takes time. It may be a process to identify sin. Habits and choices that steal our joy, our dignity, and our true freedom. So wherever you are at, hear the same dinner invitation to you too. You are loved before you're even aware of your mess, your sin. You are loved in it, and you can even come with it. Just bring it with you. If you aren't ready yet to let it go and to leave it behind, then bring it with you to the table. Maybe you and Jesus need to unpack it together. Come as you are. Come with where you're at. Don't try to fix yourself before you come. Simply come and have Jesus help you with whatever needs to happen. I'd like to invite you to picture Jesus reaching the spot where you are right now. Jesus, would you help us see you look at us too and hear you call each of us by our name, because you do. And we thank you for that. Let's take a brief moment and be present with Jesus. We are about to hear the song, "Come As You Are." Feel free perhaps to just listen and hear this as your invitation from Jesus to you. And if you sense Jesus inviting you too, similar to how Jesus invited Zacchaeus and said, come down immediately, maybe you'd like to get up and take a moment to sit by the cross. You don't have to. It's what's in our hearts that matters most. But sometimes it can actually be freeing to get up on our feet or down on our knees and give expression to what's within our hearts. And if you happen to want to come but feel frozen while your heart may be racing, then just ask Jesus for help and watch what he does. Maybe he'll actually come and climb up into your tree. Thank you, Jesus, that you are still the same today. The same way you looked up to Zacchaeus in his tree, you look up at me here this morning at Don Ross too. Would you show each of us what your face looks like as your gaze meets mine right now? Thank you for how you love me, for how you really like me, and for how you gave your life so you could be with me today and forever into eternity. Thank you, Jesus, that in much the same way you invited Zacchaeus, you invite me too. You say, come down immediately. Come to me. See, I'm coming to you too, for I must stay at your house today. Come as you are. Now, there's another way to enter into this story, and that is as one of the people in the crowd, the ones who grumbled and muttered. I don't know about you, but in hearing this story before, I've always been quite quick to side with Jesus and Zacchaeus, and have actually dismissed the mutterers, judged them. And Jesus' radical behavior does seem to expose them, doesn't it? Zacchaeus' surprising turnaround, giving away half of his possessions to the poor and paying back four times those he had cheated, completely disarms them. There's nothing left to grumble about. And now, while Jesus and Zacchaeus go off for dinner, the mutterers are left standing there, dumbfounded and exposed. I think for me, in sitting with this story again over the last while, what struck me most is how God's amazing grace is just the same for us mutterers too. We too, in our muttering, are deeply loved. The story may not tell this part, but it's true. We find it in the prodigal son story, for instance, when the father goes after the older brother and pleads with him to join the party. He pleads. Now, to stick with the imagery from our story, just as Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus in his tree and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately," I think Jesus also seeks and finds us on our high horses sometimes and says, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Jesus seeks you and I too with the same grace and extravagant love wherever we are, tree or high horse, and invites us to come to the table. So for just a few more minutes, let's imagine being one of those who muttered. Perhaps you'd like to close your eyes once more. Helps me. These people were not mean, arrogant, hard-hearted bullies who ganged up on a victim. They hated Zacchaeus and treated him like an outcast for very legitimate reasons. Let's ask ourselves, is there perhaps a Zacchaeus in my world today, a person or a people group who I mutter about? Maybe I don't hate them, but I rather avoid or ignore them. If I saw them sitting in a tree along my road, I'd probably cross over to the other side. Jesus, would you please help us with this and bring someone to mind? Is there a person or a people group who I don't like, who I judge? Who in my house, in my family, on my street, in this church, in my workplace, do I mutter about? And just notice if anyone comes to mind. What are they guilty of? What choices do they make that I don't approve of? What is their sin? And it's good to actually name that, because remember, Jesus may quite agree with you, but he doesn't turn away or against, he turns toward. And I think that is precisely where we need his help, where I need his help. I believe in our muttering, he invites us to come close and to learn from him, to become more like him. Do not turn away or against, but toward. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He seeks out the Zacchaeuses. He calls them by name and bestows on them the greatest honor. Jesus is coming for dinner to their house. Jesus reaches out to the least and the lowest of these and invites them into friendship. How amazing is that grace? And just to be sure, Jesus does not overlook sin, nor does he condone it. Not at all. Jesus hates sin. He died for our sin. But he loves us sinners first. He seeks out first. And in the presence of his love, Zacchaeus are transformed into true children of God. So, Madras, what if we too are invited to come into his company just as we are, wherever we are, to come down from our trees and also from our high horses. And just like we can come even with our sin, I believe we can bring our offendedness and mutterings too. It is in Jesus' company and with his help that we are being transformed, not by our own efforts. Zacchaeus' instant 180 was not by his own effort either. He's overcome by the extravagant love of Jesus and suddenly can't contain himself. It seems as if joy, freedom, and generosity simply spill over from a heart that's full for the first time. You and I are invited to come both with our sin and with our issues with other people's sin, with our splinters and with our logs. Each one of us is invited into friendship with Jesus around the table. It's there, at that table, that we grow in our friendship with Jesus and become more like him. It's there, at that table, that we can be open and honest with ourselves and with him, with our sin and our frustration with other people's sin. And if Jesus brought someone specific to mind earlier, maybe you'd like to ask him what it is that needs to happen first. Jesus may put it on your heart to pray for this person. Maybe ask him how and when. Or a first step could be to pray for myself, for Jesus to give me his eyes to see, for Jesus to break my heart for what breaks his. So let's take a moment and be with Jesus. What if Jesus said something like this? Come and be with me, beloved. I enjoy your company. I invite you to walk with me and to learn together with me. Come and be my disciple. Be my friend. Will you join me in my work of love? I invite you to help me love Zacchaeus down from trees. Together, let's seek and save the lost. So may the God of hope bless you and me, bless us and fill us with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.